Let's talk basketball. We missed him last week, but he is back from vacation. John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. He is tanned, rested, and ready.
Yes, I am all those things. I don't know about the ready part, but hey, I'm here. Let's do it.
How was your vacation?
Oh, great. Spent some time in the Bahamas. Bumped into Celtics fans down there, which is amazing. But enjoyed a little bit of time off. At the beach in some wonderful blue 90-degree ocean water.
Oh, that is fabulous. Well, good. You deserve that. Yeah. You're a hardworking man, but we're glad you're back here with us as we get closer and closer to the start of camp in the coming season. You wrote about this in Boston Sports Journal's interesting comments from owner Wick Grousbeck at the end of last season, and you took that as a criticism of sorts of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Yeah, I just feel like when he says that the brain trust, him, Brad Stevens, Joe Mazzulla got together and they agreed that they couldn't bring back the same team, well, that just tells me that by bringing back the same team means you're relying on Tatum and Brown and a cast of, supporting cast that can, and when you say, like, I know they, no team ever brings back the exact same team, so there are always going to be some departures, but to move on from Smart specifically to bring in Porzingis, it tells me that the style of play is going full Joe Mazzulla, and it tells me that Tatum and Brown in the past 2 years haven't been able to do it on their own, and they definitely need some help. So they brought in higher-level help than most teams would bring in, I think, in that situation. So I do think it's a little bit, and they'll probably not, they'll probably say I'm misreading it, but I think that they're reading between the lines. I do think that there's a little bit of a, hey, we need to get these guys a little extra help, a little more high-level help than we're used to.
If the schedule that we've seen glimpses of is accurate, it could be a heck of an opening night on October 27th.
Yeah, I mean, the Celtics, they've got some big, although I missed the October 27th part.
The Heat, a rematch of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Oh, okay. I mean, I was like, I remember, I saw Christmas Day. This is what happens when you go on vacation. I'm like,
yeah.
Wait a second. Oh, there you go. I saw the in-season tournament. I saw Christmas Day in Los Angeles, which will be fun. Opening night against the Miami Heat, get them back here. I'm sure Celtics fans would like to see Boston exercise a few demons there and actually beat Miami at home to at least prove to us you can beat Miami at home. Very interested to see if Damian Lillard's going to be part of that Miami Heat team. But, yeah, look, the Celtics, they're a good team. They're an intriguing team. And they're a team that I think can change the entire landscape of the NBA with a potential, you know, whatever potential trades they could make. And so I think they're going to be very heavily featured in these premier games once again.
I thought it was very interesting. You explained why Red Auerbach always liked to have the team on the road for Christmas.
Yeah, I think, Red always wanted to give the Garden staff Christmas off. So he knew that the Celtics were going to play on Christmas Day. It's something the NBA has always emphasized for their better teams. So he said, hey, if we're going to play, we'll volunteer to play on the road. And this way the home staff, the ushers, the concessions, all those people who are really busting their butts for a living, they can stay home with their families. And, you know, these pro athletes can, you know, they'll have time to be back around their families. And it's just such a unique kind of life that they lead, that it was more important to him to get, you know, the regular working guy some well-earned time off around Christmas.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. What do the Celtics have to do? Do they need to get a bubble and put Porzingis in that until the start of the season?
Yeah, I would like to see that. You know, some bubble wrap. there's some rumors that he had hurt his foot that the Latvian national team has denied. There's video of him shooting. He looks normal. So I don't know where the rumors came from with his potential foot injury. Honestly, I don't even care if it's a lie. All you got to say is, Porzingis foot injury, and I'm like, you know what? Just sit him. It's not worth it. I understand that there's the pride that goes into playing for your national team is different in places like Latvia. But me, championship focused, you know, covering the Celtics and what's best for them, I sit there and I think, well, Latvia's not going to win. They're not going to win this World Cup. So there's no kind of, what are you playing for? You're playing for, you know, hey, we didn't get eliminated in the first round. Yay for Latvia. Is that worth it for Porzingis? I just don't think that the whatever scorn he might face from the national team is worth the potential he might, you know, the potential for him to get hurt and cost the Celtics. If he gets hurt, this Celtics season could end up being a total disaster. Like it's such a tenuous spot. If any of these guys, or any of their main guys, get hurt for an extended period of time, it could derail a lot. So there's like a little bit of anxiety about the, you know, overall health of Porzingis, especially because of his history. Because it's the Celtics made a very big sacrifice to get him, and if something happens and they don't have him for a while, then they gave up Marcus Smart and, in effect, Grant Williams, because the money for nothing.
John, I don't know if I've asked you about this yet. What are your thoughts on this in-season tournament?
As we're talking, I will give you my thoughts on the in-season tournament. I just saw this. Porzingis says he has plantar fasciitis and will not play in FIBA. So
Good. There's
that.
Good.
So let's put a cap on that. Thank
you
very much. So good there. In-season tournament, interesting kind of thing that they're trying. I'm looking at the Celtics in-season quote-unquote schedule. They're playing on every Tuesday and Friday, basically in the month of November. And those will be tournament nights. And it's just a regular season game. Mm. But winning these games counts towards the tournament, right? And then there's a knockout round that will be played somehow. I'm still not 100% sure how it goes. And then you go to Vegas for a couple of days, and the rest of the league just keeps playing the regular season. The thing that gets me is that there's the potential for one team to play 83 games.
Mm.
And, you know, if you win this championship, whoever wins this championship has an 83-game season. So are they allowed to, like, punt a game down the road? Can they just blatantly sit everybody and say, hey, we played with your midseason thing. Can we now, like, sit all of our starters without getting fined? Because one game's not going to make that much of a difference. But also, every single game they play does give you one more opportunity for a sprained ankle, one more opportunity for the ball to bounce the wrong way, a foot to be in the wrong place. So it's going to be interesting to see exactly how much teams value this tournament. I think it's fine, but let's see it in practice. I want to see how it progresses over the course of the season. I don't want to judge it before it happens. But, you know, I can see the pros and the cons.
So, John, we're in uncharted waters here for Maine basketball fans.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, we've never been in a position where basketball experts around the country were talking about a Maine player the way they're talking about Cooper Flagg.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of excitement for him kind of reclassifying and heading into that 2025 draft. It's a big deal for him. Still, a lot can happen, but right now he's seen as the potential number one overall pick, and it could be the best player that Maine has ever seen. But there's a lot of excitement for 6'8" to 6'9". He's still growing, so I think he's what, 16 years old. So,
yeah.
You know, this kid could be almost 7 feet tall, but he could be one of those big tall wings that does everything. Some scouts are talking about his defense is ahead of his offense, and he's a pretty dynamic offensive player. So, yeah, it's exciting times for him. And so I hope that this can progress the way it should, and if things keep going this way and he continues to have these impressive outings against other elite competition, then he will probably, I think Duke is the front runner for him. He'll go to one of those high-level power schools, and then he will have an opportunity to change a franchise's fortune. So almost unfortunate that the old territorial draft pick doesn't exist anymore.
Right, right.
Because, you know, it'd be tough to see him kind of playing for, I don't know, the Portland Trailblazers or whomever. But would be nice to see him in Boston. But, hey, so far, you know, there's a lot of excitement around him.
Absolutely. A lot of excitement here to have you back with us, John. Glad you had a great vacation, but awesome to have you back. We'll check in with you again next Tuesday.
Thank you, sir. Talk to you then.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, Locked On Celtics podcast.